First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, welcome to the BS Report. A doubleheader for you this week. I was going to write an NBA playoff preview for the website, but I have to go to Las Vegas to film this piece for E60. They're trying to ruin my career with these TV pieces, and unfortunately it takes away from the writing. So we had to cram in my playoff predictions into a podcast. And since I'm making the predictions and I need help to sort them out, I had to call my buddy House, who is in Washington, D.C., wearing a Gilbert Arenas jersey as we speak. And he's going to help me sort out the playoffs. And the goal here is for us to be on the record with correct predictions for every round for four rounds, which I think the odds are like a billion to one. House, you there?
I'm here.
You ready?
Yeah, and just to be clear, my jersey has number zero on the front, but it says Tough Juice on the back for Caron Butler.
Now, you just have to have that. You can't split your vote. It's like the general election. You've got to vote for one candidate.
Well, then Caron's my guy.
Tough Juice. Yeah. Well, and he's also going to be the key to that series. But let's go. All right, let's start round one in the East, because I think the East is a little easier to figure out than the West. But number one, Boston, hosting number eight, Atlanta. I thought, here's something that was interesting. The schedule came out, and this was the Sunday night game, which is usually the crappiest possible game. And that's what they chose for Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of that?
It's the crappiest possible game.
You think so?
Right. Yeah, sure.
My dad is very upset about this.
Why? It means that he won't be in bed by 10 o'clock Sunday night?
Well, there's that. He's not coherent after 7.
Right.
But also, there's a big Simmons family dinner Sunday night, and now it looks like, because my dad isn't man enough to switch the dinner to a brunch, it looks like he's going to miss game one. I mean, it's an absolute outrage. I don't know what's happened to him since I left. But do you think the Hawks win a game in this series?
No.
Not even the token game three?
No.
9,000 fans in Atlanta going crazy. The place is half full.
Not this Boston team. KG won't stand for it.
I am picking a sweep, and here's why. Not just because Boston is significantly better.
And they are.
But also, I think there's going to be a ton of Boston fans at those two Atlanta games.
Oh, that's a good point. That's true. Atlanta's kind of like D.C. in that respect.
Yeah, well, it's much worse. I mean,
yeah,
they probably only have 8,000, 9,000 real fans. And then, you know, you saw this happen. We've seen it happen with the Red Sox.
Yes.
And this season, it happened with the Celtics. And a lot of these, especially on the West Coast trip, like Denver and Golden State and even Phoenix, just a ton of Boston fans there. Lakers game, Clippers game. So I think any Boston fan who is within like a four-hour vicinity tries to get tickets or tries to go to those two games.
After 15 years of there was the Pierce Antoine teams.
Yeah,
in the early 2000s were pretty good.
We didn't take them seriously.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
This is the first team in 15 years that has a legit chance of making the finals.
Yeah. With the Pierce Antoine team, they had a chance to make the finals, mainly because the conference was so bad.
Yeah.
And it would have been really fun. And then you go against the Lakers in the finals in 2002, and you have a puncher's chance. But I think we all knew that they didn't have a chance.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, we're going sweep for that one.
Yes.
Let's go to number four, Cleveland, against number five, Washington.
So it's going to be hard for me to be rational about this, but I'll
make the case for the Wiz. The game seven will be in Cleveland.
I think that this Wizards team I don't know how to compare them, because it's the toughest Washington basketball team I've seen in the clutch in maybe like 15 to 20 years since their like early 80s teams. So those teams with like Mahorn and Ruin
and Frankie Johnson.
Yep.
So you're saying that this team in a close game will have more of a chance than the usual team against the LeBron team?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. I tried to wrap that up for you because it took about a minute for you to make your point there.
The point to all of that, though, is that the team has a lot more – they're a lot more diverse in terms of the weapons that
yes.
are available in the clutch. Like Deshaun Stevenson won some games for the Wizards this year. Karan, Antoine, Antonio Daniels won some games for them this year. It's a lot more sort of balanced. You don't have to give Gilbert the ball with 30 seconds left and have him, or, you know, 20 seconds left and have him dribble.
Well, how have they acclimated him?
Quite well. He comes off the bench and he's, you know, you can imagine what a guy with his scoring prowess means coming off the bench for that second unit. It's an immediate lift and there isn't anybody, at least in the East, who can deal with Gilbert Arenas coming off the bench. They don't have any, there's no response, to any other team's second unit, you know, to Arenas. So, you know, he's still not 100%, but 85, 90% of Gilbert is plenty good enough in the
Okay, here are my two concerns. Number one, LeBron gets every call.
That's a legitimate concern.
And we've seen it happen over and over again with this Cavs team. And I almost feel like you have to win 5 of the 7 games to win this series.
Well, and with the added rub that this series is getting all of the primetime game slots, like this is the Friday night 8 o'clock game. It's the Sunday afternoon 1 o'clock game. I mean, LeBron's going to be at the free throw line 15 times a game.
So that's my one concern. My other concern is that Deshaun Stevenson made the mistake of getting into this trash-talking war with LeBron. Now, we don't know if LeBron has that MJ quality in him where if you cross him, he just basically obliterates you. I haven't really seen that from him yet. I'm not saying he doesn't have it in him. An example doesn't really come to mind for me with him, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I guess the other thing, this collection of Cleveland players, who's their second best player?
That's what I'm worried about with them. I don't think they have one. It's probably Ogoskis.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe Delonte West has been playing the best for them the last month or so.
I don't really like, you know, I thought they had to do that trade just to mix it up and, you know, it made sense on paper and all that stuff. But, they're 500 since that trade, and I don't really think it's made them any better. I guess Daniel Gibson coming back helped them a little bit, but, you know, LeBron's going to have to win this series by himself. They don't have another guy who can win a game for them. Basically, he's going to have to win 4 games by himself.
They look a little discombobulated to me, which is
it's the most vulnerable
Cleveland team. So, you know, this is the third straight year that Washington's facing Cleveland in the first round. Last year wasn't fair because Arenas and Butler were out for Washington. And the year before was like, you know, LeBron's crowning achievement, so he got every single call. And the Wizards also were a terrible defensive team 2 years ago. I think that Cleveland's a little vulnerable and the Wizards are a little bit more sort of grown up. So that's why I like the Wiz.
Who guards Caron Butler in this game, in these 7 games?
It's a great question.
Because it's not going to be Wallace Cerbiak.
Oh, I have my fingers crossed that it's going to be Wallace Cerbiak. I certainly have, you know, the Pope is in town today. I asked him.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to pick the Wiz.
Well, I can believe you're saying that, and I'm picking them too.
Here's the thing, though. Can they win in 6?
They have to win in 6.
And that's my question, because if it's a 7th game, LeBron goes to the free throw line 27 times.
Yeah, right.
So to pick the Wiz, you're basically conceding that they can't – that the series goes 6.
Yes.
And in those 6 games, LeBron wins 2 by himself and the Wiz win the other 4.
Yes, exactly.
I like that. I'm going to go with it. And I know for a fact that the Celtics would not want to see Washington in the second round because it's a tough team and they're not afraid of anybody. They're certainly not afraid of Pierce and Ray Allen.
Nope.
So I'm going to pick the Wiz in 6. Do you agree with that one?
Yeah, I agree with it. And I think I'll go even one step further. And I need to redeem myself after the Georgetown pick in the NCAA pool.
Yeah, that was pathetic.
By the way, I ended up going 2nd and 4th in brackets after that. But
well, congratulations. It didn't account for it in the podcast.
Not with Georgetown as the winner.
Right.
I think Washington's going to win game 1. I'm going to call that out.
Mm.
I think Washington's going to go into Cleveland and win game 1.
I don't like this Cavs team at all. I don't like the way they're playing. I don't think they're very well coached. I don't trust anybody on the team to come through in a big spot. You know, normally it'd say Sasha Pavlovic that maybe he'd be the guy who'd step up, but he hasn't really played well either.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know who helps LeBron. I almost feel like they're worse than they were last year, if that's possible.
You hate to have a team come in, show up on the doorstep of the playoffs without an identity, and that's what this Cleveland team is to me.
And I also think Washington thinks they can beat them, which is crucial.
I agree with that.
Like, I think they expect to win the series, and they have a huge coaching match, coaching advantage. So, all right, so we're going Washington in six.
Yeah.
Detroit, Philly. Both of us think Philly, this series is going to be more interesting than people might think.
Yeah, and Philly demonstrated, speaking of teams that aren't afraid of other teams,
yep,
that they're plenty capable of going into Detroit and giving Detroit the business.
Yes.
Because they won a nice, low-scoring game that was played in a style that Detroit likes to play as opposed to kind of the Philly run up and down.
Right.
And they won a game.
Philly's shown the ability over and over again to beat good teams on their floor. And, in fact, I don't have time. I should have. You know, God forbid I ever prepared for a podcast. But they beat Boston.
Yeah.
In Boston. They beat Detroit in Detroit. They beat Phoenix.
They beat Phoenix, yep.
They beat Miami. Oh, wait, that's not important. They
beat San Antonio. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, they have some giants that they've slayed. And the other thing with Philly is because of the way they run and the style they have, you can't, like, take a night off against them. You can't be like, hey, we don't have any energy tonight. We're just going to show up and beat them because they'll just run you off the floor.
And the thing that makes them a little bit more compelling over the last 4 or 5 weeks than earlier in the season, it looks like Iguodala is the answer to the, you know, who's going to score with 2 minutes left question.
Mm.
He's really developed into a reliable crunch time guy.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the thing that kills them, though, is they're one guy short, Sixers.
I agree.
And we talked about this last night, but Willie Green is the worst guy who is starting for any of the 16 playoff teams. Like, he is really a below-average player who plays 30 minutes a game for this team, which is, if they had even an average guy at that spot, I would think that this series would go seven. But the fact that he is so prominently involved just I'm going to say Detroit in six.
Yeah, I'm going to go right along with that.
And I think Detroit wins that six game, come from behind style, like 85-84, last minute.
Sure.
I think almost every one of these games are going to be tight. I could see Philly winning one of the first two.
Yep.
And, you know, the thing with this Detroit team, and it might not come back to haunt them, but I think it's going to in round two, is that you know, they just show up sometimes, and they're so overconfident. God, it's like they've won nine titles, and they won one. So I think they are vulnerable against the right team, but I just don't know if Philly is enough.
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
Well, thank you. This Orlando-Toronto series, I don't know what to make of. Two teams that I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't know why Toronto isn't a little better. I don't know why Orlando isn't a little worse.
Yeah.
I don't really think. I think both of them are pretty flawed.
Yeah, and neither one of them is going to beat Detroit in the second round.
No, probably not. I think, you know, maybe Orlando has a little bit better of a chance. Not just because they have a better team, or just because of the matchup. But
I guess.
This Toronto team, though, you know, I'd feel a lot better about them if TJ Ford was still out of the lineup.
Sure.
It's like, I feel like he screwed them up.
Right.
He came back. They were doing great. He came back, and then they had to work him back in, and he plays. You know, Calderon is he's just magnificent. I just love him.
He killed the Wizards every time they played him. I mean, he just dominated.
It's so stupid that he doesn't play. And then TJ Ford, overpaid, overrated.
It's a head scratcher.
They should have a real advantage in this series at point guard.
Sure.
Because Calderon should just be able to run amok in this series, but unfortunately he's only going to play 25 minutes a game. So I think the thing Toronto might want to think about doing is to accidentally knock TJ Ford down from behind in a layup line.
I can't.
You don't think that would be
kosher?
I don't think that's
a good idea. No.
All right, maybe that's bad. I shouldn't joke about his whatever condition he is. But,
right.
But I do think that's going to screw them up. I'm going to pick Orlando in six games just because of Turkoglu.
Yep, and you know, Toronto's going to win a couple because they have that fantastic home environment. Those guys all play super-duper hard at home.
What do you think of the Stan Van Gundy-Sam Mitchell coaching matchup?
Did you use the word matchup? describe that?
Yeah, I think if he switched the coaches, it would be a little more interesting. I don't think this Toronto team is particularly well coached. And
yeah.
But, you know, I was kind of monitoring them all year because I thought if they could ever get Bosch back and healthy and figure out that Calderon Ford thing, that they were going to be really intriguing.
And that's all that happened to them. You know, the whole season for Toronto really comes down to they could never get everybody together healthy at the same time and on the same page.
Right.
You know, they had those couple stretches at the beginning of the season where that was the case, they looked pretty darn good. I was legitimately afraid of them and expected them to be in a 3 or 4 seed for the East this year.
They came into Boston when the Celtics were playing probably at the highest level they played at until the Texas trip and legitimately beat the Celtics, like just played out of their minds,
yeah.
Shot the hell out of the ball. And they scare me in a series because they have so many good shooters.
Well, that's exactly right.
They could just get hot for 4 out of the 7 games and win a series.
And they're one of those teams where the hot hand, like, it's contagious.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 3 guys get hot all at the same time for some reason with them.
Yeah, it just never came together for them this season. And the other thing was that Bargnani is such a disappointment.
Yeah, it's
such a disappointment.
It's a shame.
Too bad. You know, his stats are actually worse this year than last year. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, he took a step back.
Well,
bizarre.
I mean, you know.
Andrea, lay off the pasta. Hit a treadmill. All right, so we're going to go Orlando in 6.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yes.
Toronto blowing a 5-point lead in game 6 and Hedo hitting the winner?
Yep.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to the West. L.A. over L.A. Denver. 4 games or 5?
I'll say 5.
Yeah, I said 5 too.
I think, you know, Denver wins the second game in Denver, and then LA goes home and takes care of it.
Yeah, you figure in one of the first 4 games, they have the game where J.R. Smith inexplicably scores like 37 points.
Yeah, right.
Or whatever, Marcus Camby shoot. They always have these weird guys that are Kleza. One of these guys goes nuts for a game, and that'll be the game they win, but who do you think guards Kobe in that team?
Nobody. I mean, who what is the matchup? Is it Carmelo?
No, I would.
Is it Kleza?
I would think it would be J.R. Smith.
Is it
J.R. Jesus,
Smith?
That would be a disaster.
Yeah.
And so that could be Iverson.
I don't even think these games are going to be close.
Well, if the Lakers are smart, and they are smart, they will just go small and play Kobe at small forward.
Yep.
And then what do you do?
Right.
Who does Carmelo guard?
Denver gives up 130 points a game. I mean, it's just not, you know, it's a terrible matchup for them. I really, you know, the weird thing is, this Denver team on paper, I look at them, they look like a top 5 in the league kind of team.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me that they just, the chemistry is so wacky. And they're so bad defensively. They have a bunch of guys that I think are good defensive players.
Wait, you're surprised that a team with all those guys on it has shaky chemistry and can't play defense? What are you talking about? I think the big surprise was that it was Carmelo who had the drunk driving and not George Karl, because I don't know how he is not drinking like at least 17 vodka cranberries every night.
Oh, I'm
coaching these guys. Maybe he is in his own terms.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe he has a driver. He's old enough to know better.
I just picture him like having these half-hour meetings like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. And then they just go out and don't do it, and he just sits there with his hands in his pockets and thinks about like whether he can get bought out.
I watched Denver games this year and sent you emails during them like, is George Karl alive right now, or is that
right.
A cardboard cutout of him?
Well, the one thing, you know, you could see a sweep here because I don't think this Denver team has a ton of heart.
Yeah.
They've been blown out over and over again. They have a habit of losing second halves by 30 points.
Right.
So I think if they don't win game 3, I think they get swept. But I do think they're going to win game 3.
Me
I think
too.
They'll win the first game. And, you know, also this L.A. team with no Bynum, they don't have a ton of flexibility up front. So if Gasol gets in foul trouble at any point, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
So you figure one out of the first 4 games he gets into foul trouble, maybe.
I'd go along with that.
I'm going to go L.A. in 5.
Okay.
And probably regret that I didn't pick a sweep.
Yeah, right. I'm going to stick with it too, though. That's a fair hedge.
Okay. Number 4, Utah over number 5. Oh, against number 5 Houston.
God, this gets juicy.
I don't see the case for Houston at all, especially with Austin missing the first 2 games.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same boat. I think Utah. You know that they have that psychological edge of having gone into Houston and beat Houston in a game seven last year.
And also they know how to defend T-Mac. They're one of the only teams that really figured out what to do with him.
Yeah. The only thing that's shady about Utah is how terrible they are on the road.
Yeah. That's why I'm thinking Utah in five.
Utah in five? I'm going to say Utah in six.
Oh.
Because I just think...
You just told me they're terrible on the road. Now you think they're winning game six in Houston?
Well, I mean, that's what I think, you know, that psychological edge piece comes to play. And that, Jerry Sloan will have them prepared. I don't understand how they could possibly be so bad on the road this year.
Does Houston win one of those first two games in Utah without Rafer Austin?
No.
Okay. So can Utah win one of the next two in Houston?
I think so.
Can Houston beat Utah in a game five down 3-1 in Utah?
Yeah.
Houston can beat Utah in a game five down 3-1 in Utah?
I think that could be the T-Mac game.
You're crazy.
I'm
no
not
way.
Crazy.
I'm going to hang up on you. I'm picking them in five. All right.
I'm on record as taking Utah in six.
All right. Well, congratulations. Dallas, New Orleans.
Oh.
This is going to shock some people because I've been very critical of Dallas.
And, you have.
The Mavs fans are convinced that I'm a hater. I love the term hater. I didn't like the Jason Kidd trade, so I hate Dallas. I sit around and I hope they do bad.
I don't think you hate Dallas, but I think that you applied an inconsistent analysis to the impact of the Kidd trade as compared to the impact of the Shaq trade.
Who asked you? What do you mean an inconsistent? I was very consistent.
No, you weren't. You broke
yes, I was.
The Kidd piece based on style of play and impact and interrelationship with the players, and you wrote that the Shaq trade was good because Steve Kerr had big balls. That was your analysis. That's inconsistent.
No, I like the Shaq trade because I didn't think the Phoenix team, as presently constituted before that trade, had a chance to win the title. And by acquiring Shaq, I felt like at least the ceiling of that trade was that they could win the title, which is why I liked it. With the Dallas trade, I thought it was a lateral maneuver and that they didn't have a chance to win the title before or after the trade.
Yeah, and I think that that's true of the Phoenix trade, and that's why you and I have disagreed.
Well, we disagree.
The Shaq trade. That's fine. We're allowed to disagree.
Yeah, I think it's good that we disagree once in a while.
But let's get on with the New Orleans-Dallas analysis, because I know we're going to actually be in agreement on that. On this.
Yeah, as Fred Durst would say.
Exactly.
Yeah, we both like Dallas and six.
Yep, we sure do.
Love the way Nowitzki's playing. I think here's the thing about New Orleans, and it's been a great story, and I do think they're a good team. But there's a couple of things that worry about me. Well, there's three things. Byron Scott, that's one.
Yeah.
Number two, no experience in the playoffs with any guy on the team except Peja, who has the experience of being terrible in the playoffs.
Well, you know, Chris Paul says that four of the five starters on their team have been in the playoffs before.
Really? Tyson Chandler, I guess, for like one round.
Yeah, they lost to the Wizards when he played for the Bulls.
Bonzi, I'm not counting him.
Why not? He has playoff experience.
Yeah, he does. He's the experience of, I guess he's had some good playoff games.
Well, he did, that run he had with Sacramento that got him, a sizable
got him
contract.
A contract.
Exactly.
Well, here's my big problem in New Orleans. I think they're relatively easy to stop in a seven-game series.
Right.
If you play them for one game, they're on the schedule, you run into them after a back-to-back, or you have one day to prepare, it's like it's a goofy team. Chris Paul dribbles the ball all the time. They have all these alley-oops. Like, they're definitely unique in their style. But I think over the course of seven games, it'll be pretty easy to figure out how to just like – and Dallas did it last night.
Well, that's the point. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Or I should say Wednesday night.
They don't need any additional experience figuring out anything. They figured it out all by their own selves in the second half of the Wednesday night game.
When Boston shut him down, they basically, every time they ran a high screen, they just double-teamed Paul and made him give up the ball. Dallas took it a step further in the Wednesday night game, and when he came over mid-court, they just trapped him and made him give up the ball. And the problem with New Orleans, which I think is going to surface in a seven-game series, is they don't really have another creator on the team. Like, they have West is a great player, somebody you can set up. Peja, same thing. Chandler's a good rebounder, but they don't have that second guy who can take the ball and get in the paint, create for guys.
Get to the free throw line,
all right. That stuff. Yep. Everything revolves around Paul.
Yep.
And you can take out one guy if everything revolves around him, unless it's somebody like LeBron.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I don't think Chris Paul is at the point of his career yet where he's going to just get crazy respect from the refs.
Yeah, right.
So
it's a really good sort of set of circumstances for Dallas, too, in the sense that, like, this is the first year in a handful of years where they can sort of be loose, you know?
Yeah.
Hope they won't come in, you know?
Well, we talked about this last night. The their season hit rock bottom during that Phoenix game on ABC on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then they had this great, you know, miraculous comeback, basically. Down 14, shots started going in, Phoenix went cold, Nash started missing threes. All of a sudden they won, and Nowitzki had that look in his eye.
Yeah, yeah.
That old school Nowitzki look, like, yeah, you know, we're going to win the game, reminded me of 2006 a little.
Yeah, when they went to the finals.
Yeah. He had that look like, we're not losing.
Yep.
And ever since then, I know they've squandered a couple tough games, but I just thought that was a crucial game for them.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Jay Kidd said that these 30 games have felt like an entire season in terms of the ups and downs.
Yeah.
But the
expectations were so high after the trade.
Yeah.
And then they eventually got lowered.
Yeah.
And now I think they're a little underrated, I'm going to say. But they're so, you know, I do think, say what you want about Avery, and he's an overcoacher and all that stuff, but I think he is smart enough to figure out how to take Paul out of the series a little bit and make the other guys try to beat them.
That's exactly the other thing I was going to say. This is going to be the first series in a while for Dallas where Avery doesn't adapt to the playing style of the other team that they're facing.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to.
You know, it's New Orleans' fault because there's only a couple teams, I think, that are a bad matchup for them. And if they had taken care of business and gotten that number one seed, then they play Denver in round one, and Denver's not going to figure out how to stop Chris Paul.
Right.
So that they would have, you know, cruised through that, and they played the winner, Utah-Houston, both of whom they could have beaten.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. New Orleans would have got its playoff seasoning with Denver, you know, and gotten over some of that inexperienced stuff just in the handful of games they would have played with Denver.
Yeah.
And right, Utah and Houston don't present particularly compelling obstacles to what Chris Paul does. Although the Deron Williams Chris Paul thing could have been off the charts.
Yeah, and I guess it's really not going to happen now.
We'll cross our fingers for next year.
Yeah, it could happen in the Western Finals, but I wouldn't bank
please
on it. Kid, well, let's make one thing clear. Kid cannot stop Chris Paul one-on-one, but I think they have so many weapons on that team defensively that can help him out, and he's so smart for team defense.
Exactly.
That I think he'll actually kind of figure out how to handle it and where to send him, and, you know, you're not going to shut down Chris Paul.
I can't wait to see Byron Scott's response to the half-court trap, you know.
I think it's going to be a flat line.
Is that right? You don't expect a, you know.
Confusion. Also, you know, the other interesting thing about this series is that Kid and Byron Scott hate each other.
I forgot that.
Hate each other. Kid ran him out of New Jersey.
Sure, that's right.
So, and the one thing with Kid, and I do think he's past his prime, and I think he's overrated by the media and all that stuff, but he does have a history of, if he has a burr in his saddle, of taking it to another level. Because, like, you know, when the Boston fans chanted wife beater at him in 2002, he just went, that was the best he's ever played in his career.
Yeah, he put Boston in his torture chamber.
Yeah, he was like, wife beat this.
Yeah.
So I do think he'll, you know, as if he wasn't going to be fired up enough for this series. I like the Byron Scott thing. I just really like Dallas in this series.
And me too.
I think Dallas in six.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I don't know what the odds are yet because they haven't come out.
I assume New Orleans is
favored.
I was so disappointed.
That's a nice underdog pick, though.
Yeah.
Dallas will definitely be an underdog.
Well, I was going to say, it isn't going to be by much, though, you know?
Yeah.
The Vegas doesn't like to lose money.
Yeah. And for New Orleans, a nice first experience and sets them up for next year. They sign one more free agent, and I think they're one of the favorites next year.
Yeah, I agree.
Phoenix, San Antonio.
Oh, my God.
Maybe greatest first-round series ever?
I'd love for somebody to take a look at previous first-round series and come up with one that compares.
I remember really, really, really thoroughly enjoying, I'm going to say it was 97 because I was bartending, And I remember watching the Rex Chapman game with the lunatic I was dating at the time. Remember Laura the Lunatic?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We'll save the stories for that. But yeah. I remember watching that Rex Chapman game with her. But remember that Phoenix-Seattle series
in
round one? Rex Chapman, Jay Kidd. I think Penny Hardaway might have been on that team. Maybe
that's
he wasn't on there yet. Danny Manning.
And the Seattle team was Peyton and Rain Man, right?
Yeah, it was the year after they made the finals.
Yeah.
And I remember being like really, really excited before that series, and because that was the year Phoenix started out like 0-13 or some crazy. They had a terrible start and ended up making the finals. And they're 40-42.
Wow.
And they lost. They played Seattle, and I think Seattle was like the one seed, and it turned out to be a great series.
Yeah. Every one of those games went down to the wire, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking it up. Sorry to be distracted, but I'm looking it up on basketballreference.com. That series was 3-2. They lost in 5. But that series had a lot of star power. Not as much star power as this series.
No, that's right. This is a finals matchup.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, you said at the beginning of the season, if we were sitting here looking through the thing, who do we expect out of the West? San Antonio, Phoenix, you know, better than 50% of the time, that would have been a reasonable guess.
Also, I think these are two of the best four teams in the league.
Right. I totally agree with that.
I would put either of these two over Detroit.
There's only four teams capable of winning the title, and two of them are going to play each other in the first round.
Amazing.
Hey, now.
I love Phoenix in this. I think San Antonio is the perfect matchup for them. They Shaq, for whatever reason, Duncan just seems to be flustered by him.
Yeah, you know, two straight games of fluster. But I like San Antonio in this one. I just think, I'm one of those guys. You go with the champion until it's demonstrated, conclusively that they're not capable of doing it. And I think, I give them they get my benefit of the doubt.
Well, I'm gonna throw this out of you. I think the benefit of the doubt thing is great, and I agree with it. But at some point, it ends.
That's true. That's right.
And I think the San Antonio team is at that point. I've watched them all year. I've waited for them to turn it on. They don't close anymore. They can't get these three guys healthy at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't think Duncan is quite as good as he used to be. So for them to win this series, I think Manu has to go crazy.
And I don't have any reason to think that he won't.
You don't like Rajah Bell against him? Why are you laughing? Well, Rajah could handle him.
I sent you some emails this year about Rajah Bell.
I know. He has played better the last 2 months. I'm going to say that.
Congratulations, Rajah.
Well, Manu is going to have to average about 35 a game for them to win this series.
I also think
Parker's going to have a massive series.
I think both of them have it in them. I mean, I think this is going to be a classic. You know, it's going to go 7. There's no two ways about it. And that game 7 in San Antonio, right?
I have Phoenix winning in 6.
Okay. Well, that's the only way for them to really do it.
I don't think San Antonio has an answer for Amari. And on the other end, Shaq can guard Duncan. And that, the fact that they have Shaq now to basically take away that extra 10 points and 5 rebounds a game that Duncan was always getting against them, those teams were so even anyway. San Antonio's a little worse than last year. Phoenix, I think, is better with the Shaq trade.
See, I don't think that I'm convinced that Shaq can handle Duncan. I saw it with my own two eyes in the games during the regular season, but I don't think we were getting the best out of Duncan. We weren't getting the playoff Tim Duncan.
Factor this in as well. Who does the league want to see advance from this series?
Well, I guess Phoenix.
You guess Phoenix? Really? That's your guess, Doctor? You think so? You think they're looking at maybe Shaq and Kobe in round 3?
I don't think
they'd be intrigued by that one? Steve Nash, Amari, and Shaq against Kobe?
I guess there's some storylines, but whatever. I'm a basketball guy, so I think San Antonio is a perfectly viable candidate. But the thing also that I think is that Shaq is going to find himself in foul trouble, and that's sort of a wild card thing here.
Well, so could Duncan.
I just don't see it. I think, in terms of who gets calls, Duncan's going to get them and Shaq's not.
I think San Antonio has slipped, and I think Phoenix wins in 6. And I will say this. If Phoenix loses in the first round, that's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out.
I agree with you.
Do you look at the coach?
Right.
Do you I don't know. I don't know what happens to them. They have Atlanta's pick, which is going to be like, I think, 15 or 16.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, this team, they made that Shaq trade to beat San Antonio.
Yep.
So if they don't beat San Antonio, it goes a little beyond back to the drawing board.
Well, it's what makes it such a beautiful. I mean, their moment of accountability is now.
I can honestly say that I'm not going to miss 1 minute of the series.
I feel the exact same way. I bought a case of energy drink.
A case of energy, nice. In fact, if the sports gal ditches me with the kids.
Yeah.
And the little boy is crying.
Uh-huh.
And it's the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know what I do? I put him up into his room in the swinging chair.
Yep.
And I just let him cry it out while I watch the fourth quarter.
Well, isn't that a good way to approach it anyway?
Not if they're crying.
He's a little
to
boy.
The point. I know, but not if they're crying to the point that they're choking.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess that's bad.
I guess if he started like doing the, I guess I'd have to go get him.
Yep.
But,
well, then he'd sit in your lap and cry and watch the game with you.
Yeah. Oh, man. Don't have kids. Just don't have them. I know you're getting married this year, but don't have kids. I'm telling you.
I tried
to warn you against getting married, too. But
well, this is 41 days, 41 nights. I don't know what the odds are on when I come on the back end of this, whether or not I still have a fiance.
Yeah. So you say San Antonio in 7.
Yep.
And I'm going to say Phoenix in 6.
Okay.
All right. So those are our picks.
Yeah.
Round 2. Let's go over this. We're already at the like 35-minute mark, so we got to zoom through round 2. Boston over Washington in 5 games?
I'm going to say 6 games.
Okay.
Yeah, because Washington, you know, they're going to give them a hard game every single game. But, you know, I think that's where...
Yeah, I'm. You know what? You changed my mind. Washington could definitely win, too, The big thing that I worry about with the Celtics is that they haven't played a meaningful game since that Texas trip. And they have this round 1 series against Atlanta that's not going to be a test.
That's not going to help them any.
So I do worry about them rounding into like that playoff toughness that you need.
Yeah, it wouldn't stun me if Washington stole a game in Boston.
Yeah, it could happen.
Wouldn't stun me.
Detroit and Orlando.
That's just... The most boring of all possible outcomes.
God, we got to figure out what to do with Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing personal, but I just, after 6 years of watching them in the playoffs and Chauncey with that look like he thinks they're going to win every game by 20 points and the arrogance, I'm tired of it.
Okay. Well, I still think they're going to win that series 4-1.
The Detroit-Orlando?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say 6 games because... Dwight Howard will have the one game where he scores 28 points and has 30 rebounds and gets everybody fired up.
Okay.
And then there will be one other game, the Turkoglu. He should just change it to Turkoglu because it seems like it's what the name should be.
Who doesn't? I always call him Turkoglu.
It's Turkoglu.
Turkoglu. It's like all these guys.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to say Detroit in 6.
It's like Vujicic.
Vujicic.
They all have bad hair and names with bad nouns and vowels.
Hey, you're antagonizing my European audience. So we both say Detroit. You say 5. I say 6.
Yeah.
L.A. and Utah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Eh.
7?
No.
6?
Why? 6 at most. I could see L.A. in 5.
Hmm. I'm going to say 5.
How about that? I said it, and you're going to agree.
Well, here's the thing, because I don't think L.A. wins a game 6 in Utah, and I don't see the series going 7.
Right.
But also, they match up nice with, Darren Williams. They have those 3 point guards to throw at him. They can kind of wear him down.
I agree with that.
Who guards Boozer, though?
I don't know. I mean, does it matter? Could it be Odom?
I'm going to change to 6.
I'm keeping it at 5.
Hey, another nice storyline in that series, by the way, the Derek Fisher. All the weird bad blood that Utah has against Derek Fisher.
Yeah.
which is, you know, they try to defend it because they're like, hey, the guy told us he wanted to play, you know, hospital for his kid, and then he goes and signs with the Lakers. When he signed with the Lakers, people didn't even think the Lakers were a playoff team. They thought they were going to trade Kobe.
Right, exactly.
Nobody batted an eyelash. When he signed with the Lakers, it was like, hey, he's going to play in the finals.
Nobody has any legitimate complaint around that. There shouldn't be any bad blood. It's silly.
It's terrible, especially when, like, a little kid.
Get over it, Utah. Seriously.
We talked about this last night, but the Mitch Kupchak Executive of the Year Award. So Derek Fisher signs with them because he's released from his contract, and they were one of the cities that had a hospital near him and used to play for the Lakers.
Right.
I think I could have probably signed that deal. And then the Pau Gasol trade, he basically accepted one of the worst trade offers ever made, and now he's our Executive of the Year.
And you know, the one thing we didn't talk about, he also just got, you know, the luckiest of lucky with the Bynum turnaround. I mean, who saw that coming?
Yeah.
Why was there any reason to think that that was going to work out that way?
And I don't know if that Bynum turnaround happens if Kobe doesn't call him out last summer and kind of light a fire under him. I'm still not sold on Bynum even being in the league 7 years from now. I think he could go any way.
Well, I mean, that's the point. At the beginning of the year, why wouldn't Bynum be Kwame Brown?
Yeah.
He could have gone that direction. The team, Washington, tried to call Kwame out, and he just dogged it.
Yeah. I think it lit a fire under him, but it remains to be seen what kind of condition he's going to be in and how hard he would play.
Look, I don't think they should mess with it. Just let him be out. He can come back next season. What good does it do them to try and reintegrate him now? You don't do that in the playoffs. It's not experiment time.
No, but they'll need him to beat San Antonio in round three.
So if the idea is that he's healthy enough to play and contribute and he needs to get his legs, then let him go ahead and get his legs in some of these games, I guess.
So you don't see any way Utah beats the Lakers?
No. None.
I don't really either.
They don't do it for me.
It's a bad matchup for them because, you know, they can't play Korver.
Right.
Because, you know, you can't match him up against Kobe. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
And then you're basically asking Ronnie Brewer and Kirilenko, who's almost a Section 8 at this point.
So weird.
To handle Kobe. Yeah. All right. Then the other series is Dallas. We both have Dallas. You have them playing San Antonio. I have them playing Phoenix.
Yeah.
I have Phoenix beating Dallas in six games.
And I would have San Antonio beating Dallas in six games.
Yeah. I think Dallas wins the first series, but I don't think they're ready to play against either of those two teams.
That's exactly right.
Round three, Boston-Detroit.
It's a good one. You know, there's bad blood, which is enjoyable, because Detroit obviously clearly felt that Boston was a little full of itself at the beginning of the season. Each of the times they played this year, the games were fascinating to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know which way the coaching matchup, small m, you know, goes, but
I actually think Doc has an advantage because of Thibodeau, the assistant coach.
Okay.
Doc plus Thibodeau over Flip Saunders.
All right. That's acceptable. And the thing that's going to be terrific to see is the you mentioned this in your column yesterday, the Sheed KG thing.
Oh, it's going to be great. And also Billups and KG are best friends, and out of anybody in the league, Tayshaun Prince has given Pierce the most trouble, in my opinion.
So I'm going to...
A lot of nice subplots.
I know how I'm going to pick it. Let's hear you.
I'm going to say Boston in six and not seven, and here's why.
Okay.
I actually think it's easier to beat this Detroit team at home in a situation like that. Detroit scares me when they're on the road in a game seven. I feel like Detroit would have a better chance of losing a game six than losing a game seven. Cause I don't think they get a very good boost from their crowd.
Huh.
And in the home games, I think they're a little more vulnerable. On the road, it seems like the road kind of galvanizes
them.
Yeah,
right. They really hunkered down with that.
Cause remember like the LeBron game last year?
Yeah, that's what I was going to reference.
Yeah, that was game five in Detroit.
Yeah.
That's a take care of business game.
Yeah.
And the crowd didn't take care of business, neither did the Pistons.
And that's why they lost the series. It was that
yeah.
simple. I mean, they take care of business that game. They're in the finals again.
Because I could see Boston beating up 3-2. It goes back to Detroit. And Detroit's like, all right, we got this. We're home. And then kind of coming out a little flat.
I'm gonna say Boston in seven, but that's just because I want it to go seven.
Well,
because I'm going to love the basketball.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a little low scoring. There's going to be a lot of staring and guys going chest to chest but not getting a technical and a lot of trash talking.
Yeah.
I really hope the league doesn't ruin that series by being, you know, doing their typical overprotective crap that they do.
You never can anticipate what kind of, referee groups we're going to get here.
You have all adults. You have all professional basketball players in this series. Nobody's going to get in a fight.
Nope.
Just let them do their thing. Let their competitiveness come out. Because that's a series that the referees could really ruin.
That's true.
And then the other series, Los Angeles against I have Phoenix, you have San Antonio.
Right. I like L.A. against either of those teams.
L.A. and San Antonio in how many games?
Six.
I think if it's San Antonio, which I already picked Phoenix, so
yeah.
I think San Antonio would beat the Lakers. It's the one team I think the Lakers can't beat.
Wow.
Without Bynum, I don't think they have anybody to guard Duncan. I think Duncan eats up Gasol on both ends.
So what would you say if it's San Antonio in how many games?
I would say San Antonio in six.
In six, okay.
I think they have, they can throw Bowen and Ginobili at Kobe and really get under his skin and bug him. And
that's true.
That's in my opinion, that's the one team Los Angeles cannot, is very vulnerable to in a seven series.
I agree with that. The thing that I've been so impressed by with this Lakers team is their ability to score from to get scoring from virtually anywhere. They are like eight deep in terms of where they can get scoring.
That's great.
From.
That's why the MVP argument drove me nuts because this team is so much better than the team from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They only won 11 more games.
Right.
So I'm fine with giving Kobe MVP this year, but you have to vote him MVP for 2 years ago then. We have to go back and change it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Because that team was horrific.
Yeah, that by comparison.
Oh, my God. That was one of the worst teams that ever made the playoffs, and they won 45 games.
Yep.
So I'm going to say I have L.A. over Phoenix in seven games.
Ooh.
A war, a classic, one of the all-time great series, and the seventh game basically comes down to Kobe getting to the line 25 times and Phoenix, as usual, getting boned over by the refs.
That would be my prediction. That would be a beautiful turn of events. I hope, as much as any of the scenarios that we're looking at here and the way that I think it's going to go and the way you think it's going to go, that would be terrific.
L.A. Phoenix would be really in the pantheon.
In the pantheon.
Having Shaq, Nash and Amari and Kobe and the crowds.
Oh, I think L.A. San Antonio would be pantheon-esque, too.
Yeah, but not as appealing, I think, to casual fans as, like, my wife would watch an L.A. Phoenix series. I don't think she would watch L.A. San Antonio.
Okay, all right.
Even my wife would be interested to see how L.A. Phoenix turned out.
No argument. Sure. Kobe, Shaq, it's stunning. And I'll root for it if San Antonio falls by the way here.
You know who else is rooting for it?
David Stern?
His initials are DS. You know who else is rooting for it? Everybody at ABC and ESPN and TNT.
Well, of course.
TNT gets that series, but they have the West this year.
Holy cow.
I mean, they are like...
Imagine
L.A. Phoenix. That's the highest rated non-finals ever.
Yeah, and imagine... Kenny and Chuck and Ernie
in L.A.
during all those games.
Oh,
I'm coming out. If that happens, I'm coming out.
I'm rooting for L.A. just because they play 15 minutes from my house, and I can go to as many of those games as I can possibly get tickets for. But
And get the donuts
on the way home from California Donuts in New Hampshire.
Right.
All right, the finals.
Yep.
We both have L.A. and Boston.
Whoa.
We both ended up there.
It's pathetic that we're front runners like that.
Well, if you're going to bet your life on a finals, that would be it. I've tried to pick crazy finals or try to go off the beaten path, but just the way these seeds line up, I don't see how it's not L.A.-Boston.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then throw in how much the league needs that and how much the TV networks need that.
Yep.
And how great the season – the other thing – and, there's no way to really tie this in a natural way, but this season has been so great.
Yes.
That this seems like it should be the natural finals, L.A.-Boston.
Yeah,
this would be the fitting ending to this phenomenal season.
That's exactly right. I mean, this is not a great analogy, but, with the college basketball, with the NCAA tournament, this was absolutely the right season for four number ones to make it to the Final Four because they were really genuinely the four best teams, and nobody else was really even close, except for maybe Texas. But, you know, the same thing is true here. There's a reason that they're both the number one seeds. There's a reason that they both, you know, won the number of games that they won. And I think it's appropriate for both of them to show up in the finals.
It kind of reminds me of the 82 college season when the 81-82 college year was so fantastic.
Yeah.
And then it everything crested with this North Carolina-Georgetown finals.
God.
Which, you know, everybody was hoping at the time, oh, man, what a great final that would be. And then it happened.
And it really was great.
Yeah. And I feel like this Lakers-Celtics thing, it's like The Secret, like Manny Ramirez's favorite book, The Secret. If we all wish for it to happen, it will come true.
Okay. I'm wishing.
Yes. So, what's your pick?
I like L.A.
I did too.
I like L.A. in 6 or 7. I'm not positive yet.
I did too.
Why do you have to? Why are you confessing that? Why don't you show a little Homer?
No, you know, everyone thought I was a Homer for picking KG with the MVP, and it was the exact same logic that I used when I picked Shaq 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's not. I know that that's not a Homer pick. You just
no.
Your criteria are your criteria, and you pick it that way every year.
The funny thing is, I'll admit that I've been a Homer with some stuff over the years, but I would never.
You would?
I'd never be a Homer with the MVP column. Like, I have too much integrity to, like, rig my MVP column for a Celtic. I don't really care who wins the MVP, but
yeah.
I care about the whole process and coming up with the right person for
it. Yeah, I understand that.
And unfortunately, I have too much information on how that Celtic season went because I watched all the games.
Yep.
I watched the transformation of the guys. I watched the transformation of the team. And it happened because of one guy. And
yeah.
People make the mistake of thinking, well, Ray Allen, they have 3 All-Stars. Like, Ray Allen is not an All-Star anymore. I mean, He's a spot-up shooter who really doesn't do that much else. He's not a good defender. He's terrible in the open court. For somebody who's an All-Star, I've never seen somebody
don't make Ray Allen mad at you.
I don't mean to make Ray Allen mad at me. I just think he's past his prime.
Like, okay.
He is what he is. He's a spot-up shooter, and that's all he does.
All right.
So for everybody to do the 3 All-Stars thing is just stupid.
Yeah, that is stupid.
KG has had just, you know, they're one of the historically great defensive teams that have ever played, and it's because of KG.
That's a fact.
So I don't know why that doesn't count in the MVP. Anyway, I'm going to say L.A. over Boston in 6 games.
Okay.
And here's why. I think they have the best guy on the court. This Boston team in tight games, they, you know, as great as the team thing is and that whole thing, they're vulnerable in these tight games because when you're going mano a mano, they don't have that guaranteed guy to score on the other end.
I asked you about this. What about Sam Cassell? Is he just too old now?
Well, if you want to pin your hopes to a 38-year-old guy, you know, yeah, maybe he wins 2 of these games and swings it. But do I want to bet my life on that? No.
Yeah, well, that's true. You don't want to bet your life on that.
If I had to bet my life on this series, I would bet the Lakers because of Kobe. And more importantly, I think that 3-4-5 is a big advantage for the 3-4-5 side. Because if you steal one of those first 2 games,
yeah,
and then you win 2 of the next 3.
Yeah, that's true.
Then you go back to game 6, that team's playing with their back to the wall, and it seems like you can steal that game 6.
Yeah.
Or you maybe even just close them out in 5, but that worries me. I don't like having the 1-2 and the 6-7. It reminds me a little bit of the 85 finals when we were down 3-2 coming back to Boston.
Yeah.
And the Lakers just won the game 6. It's a lot of pressure to win those last 2 at home.
Sure, of course.
I think San Antonio did it. Did they do it? Against Detroit in 2005? I don't remember.
Yeah, that wasn't the one that went to 7 games.
Yeah, that was the one that went to 7. And I think Detroit had a chance to close them out in game 6 and didn't.
Right.
But should have.
Yeah.
And then San Antonio won that ugly game 7.
But yeah, right.
I just think this is probably been a perfect storm for the Lakers with the trades that happened. And I don't know if we can match firepower with Kobe.
Well, that's the thing. It does have a charmed season kind of feel to it out of nowhere.
Yeah. And, you know, if I was fully convinced that KG could put the team on his back in a couple of these games.
Right.
But I don't know if he has it in him. I haven't seen it. You know, I voted for him for MVP, and I do think he's most valuable. But in terms of being the biggest weapon on the court and the most clutch guy and all that, he's not that type of player. He's too unselfish.
Yeah.
So now that means PP and Ray Allen and Cassell are going to have to make some big shots. I'm not – totally sold on them.
Yeah, but it's going to be fun to watch.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. So, begrudgingly, I'm going to pick the Lakers in six.
Okay, and I'm going to take the Lakers in seven. Again, just on the theory that I wanted to go seven games.
I do have a crazy pick for you.
Okay.
I think DJ Mbenga is going to be the finals MVP. I had to make one crazy pick. One last question. What player do you think stock will rise the most at the end of these playoffs, where we look back, and don't say Kobe. I'm talking about like somebody else.
Yeah, I wouldn't say something stupid like that.
Well, no, because you can make a case. Kobe, historically, if he wins the finals, he
When you say stock rising, do you mean in terms of like a Hall of Fame resume? Do you mean in terms of like...
I'm talking like Darren Williams, somebody like that. Type of player. Because I think Darren Williams could be the guy that comes out of this playoffs and people are saying, wow, maybe he is as good as Chris Paul. You know, because if New Orleans gets bounced in round one and Utah gives the Lakers everything they can handle in round two and he has a great series, then maybe he jumps a level.
I don't know. I don't think I have a good answer to that question because I look at all these teams. These are all teams with veteran players. There isn't anybody that's sort of below the radar screen to me looking at it. Maybe not even on Detroit.
I'm going to say Carmelo is in the most danger from these playoffs because if they get bounced in round one and he has a bad series thrown with the drunk driving thing all the other stuff, I think he gets traded this summer.
That's all going to happen. I don't know about him getting traded, but they're going to get bounced and he's not going to play that great.
They have to think about trading him this summer, right?
They got to do something to shake that team up. They have to take it in another direction somehow or another.
I think it's time for a fresh start with him.
The crazy thing is we're talking about a 50-win team that needs to start from scratch. How about that?
Yeah, that is a little weird.
But that's the ceiling. Isn't that the ceiling?
Well, also, how many years does Iverson have left and Canby? Like,
right.
Guys that are kind of at the tail end.
Right. So, I mean, that's a hard little nut to sell to your season ticket holders. We're going to start from scratch for a team that won 50 games because we don't think that they can win the title.
We're going to bleep nut just so it sounds like you said something horrible there. Hey, Hass, we're at the hour mark. I have to go, and you have to go back to work.
Yeah,
as always, we went far too long, but it was a pleasure to have you on, and I hope you're wrong and that I'm right about the San Antonio Phoenix series.
And that's fine. I welcome the challenge.
Yeah, it'll be good. Yeah. All right, well, maybe we'll have you back during the playoffs to see if your wedding is still on.
I hope so.
Okay, take it.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.